White, J.E. White, Emma. Sunnyside, Corinbong, New South Wales, Australia. August 14, 1900. Dear children Edson and Emma, it is quite cold this morning. I can hardly hold my pen in my hand. I did not think I should be able to write to you this mail, but I will write a few lines. We have been having some beautiful weather here. The frosts have been heavy, but in spite of this, we have cauliflower ready for eating. Oranges, mandarins, and passion fruit are now ripe, and there are plenty of thistle greens which I eat. These are something like dandelions. They are a healthful food. I use lemon juice on them. We expect, the Lord willing, to leave Corinbong in 2 weeks. The boat leaves Sydney a fortnight from tomorrow. My farm and all that appertains to it is sold. When we reach America, we shall not immediately leave California, for we shall have to find a place for our numerous family so that writings may be prepared for the general conference. I shall not again build a house, but shall be prepared to move anywhere the Lord shall direct. We may reside in our old home in Healdsburg, but W.C. White thinks we must establish our headquarters near Oakland, at Fruitvale. I am praying the Lord to direct our course. I may visit St. Helena and abide there until a place is found for me on the railway line, where we shall not be subjected to so many changes of tram and boat as at Healdsburg. We have our bookwork to carry on, and during the 2 years which we expect to remain in America, we must make our time tell. It is hard for us to tear ourselves away from this country, especially at this time when the sanitarium is about to be built. We feel indeed that this is our home, and we would not turn our faces from it did not the situation of the cause and work of God seem to demand this. The call comes in so decided and earnest a way that we dare not refuse. And I feel desirous to see you, my children, once more, and the old friends of the cause of truth. Edson, things have not been moving in right lines, and I must, in the fear of God, bear my testimony personally to those who are in danger of swaying the work disproportionately in the so-called medical missionary lines. We are to know the truth as it is in Jesus. Then we are to practice it heartily at any sacrifice. We must stand as self-sacrificing minutemen, to suffer if need be for the will of God. There is a great work to be done in a short period of time. We need to understand all things with relation to each other better than we do now. We need to understand our work and do that work with fidelity. There are to be witnesses inside and outside of the camp. The Lord Jesus was the light of the world, the greatest witness for truth the world has ever seen. When necessary, he spoke truths which were keen and cutting as a two-edged sword, and sent them home to the conscience so forcibly that the priests and rulers could not bear his words and planned again and again to put him to death. But when they sought to take his life, he departed to other places. Many argue that those who have the truth should remain where they are in the camp of the world, and be as other people are, joining in worldly amusements and festivities, and following worldly fashions. They say that thus they can obtain a standing and influence among the people of the world, and sanctify their pursuits, bringing them up to sensible thinking. But this cannot be. Is this why so many churches are just like the world, avoiding all things that would make them singular in the eyes of the world? Is it right for those who claim to be children of God to retain their worldly habits and practices, clinging to the worldly pleasures so congenial to their natural inclinations and desires? Let them not think that thus they can convert the world. There are obstacles to this kind of witness-bearing. The Scriptures bear decided testimony against this world-loving attitude. What is the call? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 16. At this time, under the warnings and appeals of the first, second, and third angels' messages, there comes a most solemn message to the mixed multitudes in the churches. Come out from among them, and be ye separate. This reaches every alliance, every secret society, all who have bound themselves together by oaths and penalties. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Verse 17. God calls for faithful men and women to be in the world, but not of the world. The redeemed, believing people of Christ, who are worthy to claim kinship with Him, will demonstrate their relationship by being true witnesses to the truth for this time. They will show that they are sons and daughters of the heavenly King by their modesty and apparel, by their words and actions. They will wear the pilgrim's dress and manifest the pilgrim's spirit, witnessing a good confession. This is true missionary work, to bear the truth to all nations. The last message of warning to our world is to be of the most decided character, as represented in Revelation 14, verse 6 to 13. The next great event is brought to view in the 18th chapter of Revelation. The Lord designs that before He shall come to execute judgment upon transgressors, His law shall be made known and understood. All who desire light will have light. The work of the gospel ministry is not to decrease in efficiency, but is to increase until it becomes the great enlightening agency in our world. Everything possible should be done to send more laborers into the field. No influence should be exerted to turn young men aside from qualifying themselves for ministerial missionary work. To this, we may attach the word medical, for it is essential that the gospel minister shall have a knowledge of disease and its causes. He should know how to give help to the sick. He should be able to teach the people how to treat the house we live in. This is a part of the gospel. All cannot take a full medical course, but there is a practical knowledge which all who preach the gospel should gain regarding medical work. Those who are preparing for the ministry should make a diligent study of the human machinery, that they may know how to preserve themselves in health without depending on physicians or drug medication. All the effort made to become intelligent speakers and teachers will be of little avail if disease and a breakdown is brought about by a neglect to observe the laws of the being. Physiology should be made a part of the course of study taken by every student. Those who stand at the head of our institutions of education should know how to eat properly, how to take proper hours for rest and sleep, and proper hours for thorough physical exercise, that all parts of the human machinery may be taxed proportionately.